Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the General Banter Podcast. My guest today, Chris Kent.
Thank you.
Welcome. We're doing like all great podcasts, impromptu kind of, you're in town, you know, we're in town.
Exactly.
Let's get together and chat. We wore the same hoodie nearly, that's embarrassing.
I know, I did notice that when I came in, yeah.
It's like we're doing workouts in the 80s and just decided to do a
Rocky Balboa, running up the steps there.
Yeah, looking at the steps. Fresh off the sold out gig at the Mac.
Yes, it was amazing. Paddy's Day, I've never gigged on Paddy's Day before.
There's definitely like a window on Paddy's Day for sort of slightly more mature people.
Yeah.
Who want to actually...
not get sick in the street.
Yeah, go out and... yeah, don't want to piss themselves publicly.
Yeah.
But they want to go to something.
Is that the sort of... comedy's a good window for that, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But didn't stop them drinking at Lavery's last night.
No.
With a show too. A couple of, you know, mature ladies.
Rowdy.
Just like fucking ice buckets full of wine.
Nice.
Chatting to themselves like, yeah, as if there was no comedy even happening.
That's the worst thing, I think. Whatever, I don't mind hecklers at all. Genuinely, because at least you can engage with them. But it's when they're talking to each other.
Oh yeah.
And you have to tell them to stop.
I know. And
numerous times.
You seem like, you know, like you're such a fucking vibe killer.
Like
going,
a teacher. Like,
sorry,
yeah,
but everybody's staring at you right
you're
now.
You're ruining the show, yeah, lads.
And they always say something like, oh, okay, carry on.
Yeah. It was actually one year in Edinburgh, I had to get, it was actually about eight Northern Irish girls,
yeah,
thrown out of my show.
Oh, God.
In the wee room, 50 people at it, and six of them in the middle row. And I was like, behind the curtain, straight away, I was like, oh, God, this is bad.
And in Edinburgh, there's usually nothing, yeah, behind the curtain.
No, there's nothing.
It's just you and
I'm just standing there, yeah.
A brick wall.
Yeah, and I could see they had all glow bands, wristbands on for some reason, and they were on it. Gave out to them loads, you know, tried to put them in their place loads, and then they were really annoying other people.
Yeah.
And I was like, eventually I had to get them out. The adrenaline, there's no security in those rooms.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you need to get out now, seriously.
Yeah.
This is your last warning. This is 50-50 fucking...
And it was probably at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It was. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I was, everyone was on a totally different vibe. And I was like, get out. And the rest of the crowd were like, thank you so much. And I got them cheerio'd out of the room.
Yeah.
I said, you start cheerio, cheer. And they all went out. And they were all waiting for me afterwards.
For a fight or something?
The door. Yeah. You need to, they were like, you need to man up. And I was like, that was the manliest thing I've ever done in my life. Throw six women out of my show.
I need fucking two Prozac after that.
You need to man up. And it was weird because they were waiting outside the door here telling me about Tammy. And every single person that came out wouldn't have seen them yet. And they were like, thanks. And every single person called them cunts almost. Thanks for throwing those cunts out. And they heard every single person calling them a cunt and they still hung around.
Oh, there's something fucking wrong with people here. Like, who was I talking to recently? And they were like, why is there no like weekend gigs,
yeah,
up north? And I was like, because they'll go to comedy,
yeah,
for something to do during the week. And then at the weekend, they're like, don't you dare interrupt my drinking time.
You can't interrupt people.
With your fucking, no, with your comedy. How dare you?
I was wondering why there was no weekend comedy in Belfast. But you just let loose at the weekend, is it?
That's, I think so. We might start a Friday gig and it's kind of like a come out of work, go straight there.
Yeah, early enough.
Quick show.
7 o'clock.
Over by like 8:30.
Yeah.
Go on the piss by yourself. But yeah. Yeah, it seemed like, you know, you supported Neil Delamere at the SSE. I had guys kicked out of the first show and it was something similar. It wasn't heckles you can deal with.
You can deal with them because they're engaged with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're listening and they want to, yeah, fucking jump in before you. It's the, you know, the ladies chatting amongst themselves,
yeah,
and then also like just guys shouting stuff and you're like, what are you fucking even saying right now?
Yeah.
That would just be mid-sentence. And this guy's like, yeah, bro, just shouting things from videos that I can't even remember making. And I'm like, what? And then, you know, he would confirm what he said. And I'm just like, that. Why did I stop for that?
Yeah, you interrupted the flow there.
I don't know, if you turn around, you might see 3,000 people sitting there, you,
yeah,
know? And and it's always like front row.
Yeah.
It rarely comes from the back. It's always like right here where you're talking to them and nobody else can hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Just ruined the show, like.
Nightmare. We were just talking briefly about the SSE. Is that the biggest gig you've done?
Biggest gig I've done, yeah. I mean, it wasn't my gig, but I'll say it. I put up a post afterwards. I'm an arena act now. And people were congratulating me. I was just opening for someone there, but I just put it all up.
Listen, it's...
like, well done.
It's all about optics, man. You know,
yeah,
you,
exactly.
If you get that hero shot from behind of you,
that's
at
it,
the SSE.
I got that one, yeah.
No one's going to know.
Yeah.
tell everybody down south that you're just like absolutely fucking.
I'm a massive acting.
Killing it.
Belfast. And I had to pull a show in County Cork, but that's fine. Because I go back to Belfast.
So, you just did Vicar Street as well?
Yes.
Jeez.
Three years waiting for it. I booked it way out and then COVID happened and then I just had to
Have you done
wait.
It before though?
Never. No.
I that's what I had thought had happened was I always thought you had done it already.
No, I opened but you were for just... loads of acts there. I was about to. I was about 3 weeks out from it or something and then the whole lockdown
Fucking hell. So that's how I thought, that's what I thought was happening up here. I was like, oh, he's already done it. He's doing it again post-lockdown.
I wish.
But that's the one, that's the same show.
That just was it, post. Yeah. People were there, tickets in their hands from 3 years ago.
Fuck, it's bizarre. Same show and everything?
Same show. It evolved a bit, like, cause obviously, I was in the middle of touring that show, you see.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened, so, you know, I was just after getting the show to where I wanted it to be. And it's evolved now since I bought it back and COVID and all that. There's a little bit of, it's probably a bit bigger, like, but it is that show, yeah.
So you're, like, familiar with the venue, before you did your own big show there?
You'd been
there a bunch?
Supported a few Irish and American comedians there, and, I loved it. Like, couldn't believe I was going to be doing it on my own, like, you know, it's a proper buzz.
How did you celebrate after or anything? Or
I did actually, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a couple of pints.
Yeah, it's hard to fucking...
And I don't really drink it. 5.5 years since I've had a drink.
Yeah, I remember last time you were up at Lavery's, you were like, I'm off the drink.
I didn't drink for about 5.5 years. And then last year I was on holidays with my wife and she was like, we were staying in her cousin's place in Roscommon and they have a lovely pub and they were like, it's meant to have this really good Guinness. So I was like, oh, I'd love it. And she was like, just have one. So since then I've had a few, but I've then gone months again between it. But on Vicar Street, I just got off stage. I had a 0% Guinness and I was like, it was rotten.
Really?
And then I got off stage and Dame O'Clark opened for me and he had a pint of Guinness and it just looked amazing. I was just after getting off stage and the guy was like, do you want one? And I was like, oh yeah, sure. I had a couple. It was nice. Yeah.
Going crazy.
Yeah.
Letting loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, the zero one's just fucking pointless, to be honest.
I like them, to be honest. I like the actual zeros, Heineken's and the Guinness, but this one was, just not as good as the real thing, obviously, you know?
Yeah, I think it's good, you know, there's plenty of times where I've thought like I could easily not drink ever again.
Yeah.
But it's a good skill to have.
Drinking?
Yeah, just,
that's,
you know.
A massive skill to have.
When you need it, it's good, you know.
Yeah.
For a moment like that, when you want the celebration pint, you're like, yeah, I'm able to have this.
I had a couple and it was lovely. It was nice.
Like, you know? Micheál, where's that come from? Like Micheál last night.
It's not my phone, is it?
No. You know, he doesn't drink and then he realised he wasn't driving. He had a Guinness and like 2 sips into it. He was like,
floating.
Take me home.
See, that's the way I used to be. That's why I had to give up drink because I didn't realise people were better at it than I was. And I would go toe to toe with like my dad, who has a nickname of Georgie Two Sups for that reason, that drinking the Guinness.
And his name's Brian.
Yeah. Him and my uncle one day, I remember I was fresh off. I'd say I was probably only 18. I was drinking with them and just carried home.
Georgie Two Sups.
Oh, I got carried home. I just drank with them and I was like, I'll be Christy Two Sups now.
Yeah.
That's it. And Christy Brown is who I ended up being a couple of minutes later. I remember just drinking and being toe-to-toe with him for so long and then I got so drunk. Like, they carried me home shoulder to shoulder. Couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Dragged me home, like my shoes, like that, dragged along the ground all the way home. And I fell asleep in my childhood bedroom, I remember. And I woke up, right? And I was after pissing my pants. This is the reason I gave up the drink, right? I was after pissing my pants.
Fucking Super Mario bed covers.
And also...
covered in piss.
My phone was in my front pocket, so I basically pissed the phone to death. So, not only that, I went downstairs, right? I went downstairs in this haze of drunkenness, and I started Googling. Ages ago now, my mother had a laptop. The internet was very slow. I was Googling, like, how to fix my piss-soaked phone. And before I got an answer, I had set up her hairdryer against it to dry it out.
Yeah.
But then it was like the first thing it said was like, do not put the hairdryer, just blow everything back into it.
Blow the piss back into the charge port.
So it was like, get the Hoover out and suck the stuff out. And I got the Hoover. And I don't know, young people probably won't remember this now, but I got the Hoover. Yeah. I set it up against my phone and it sucked all the buttons off my phone. Up into the... people won't remember buttons on phones, but it sucked all the buttons up into the Hoover and they were all tingling around inside the Hoover and I had a pissy, buttonless phone. And That was one of my steps towards not drinking for 5.5 years, probably.
Just you in a fucking...
Me and my underpants.
Alcoholics Anonymous circle telling that story.
My mother hoovering for months afterwards going, there's an awful smell out of this hoover.
It's rattling about here, all these pissy buttons. Mm. That is hilarious, yeah. I wonder how far into the Google search you had to go before it would complete the sentence. You're like, how to vacuum the piss
out of a phone.
Like, out of your phone.
Yeah.
That is fucking brutal. I got slagged off one time, like years ago. I think I took my phone out of my pocket, you know, in the early phone days.
Yeah.
And it was a BlackBerry or something. And this girl at the bar after a gig was like, you still got buttons?
Mm.
I was like, shut up, you fucking...
Yeah, people, I can't even think of anyone with a phone with buttons now.
And now if you go back the way, you can be on your sort of moral high horse.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I've got a basic, simple phone.
Nokia 3310.
That does calls because I'm fucking...
Yeah, I tried to do that.
Yeah.
I tried to get rid of that phone and have that. Went out and bought one of those phones and all because I didn't want to be on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
But it didn't last very long.
I mean, it's weird. It's just like, it does the job of like 50 things, so you can't just get rid of it.
Exactly. I'm way too dependent. Sat navs, everything. I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't have found this place. Not a hope.
Well, yeah, you're one of the few people who find it.
Yeah.
Reasonably easy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are like, I'm beside an Asda. Can you direct me around? You were talking about Edinburgh there. I remember I saw that show actually that year you were in that room.
Oh, yeah. I saw your show too. That was
in there. Yeah, I don't know if I should have been at the fringe at that point in my career.
That was a great show.
Really? I'd only done stand-up for about two years.
It was brilliant. I remember. You had a few sketches in between on the screen.
I basically did like 4 10-minute spots.
Yeah, but that's a fest.
Broken up with videos.
That was one of the best shows. That was one of my favourite shows I'd seen that year.
Really?
Because it was different to everything else.
Yeah, I bluffed it. Like it was basically a guy who made some videos and then started doing stand-up and probably wasn't ready for like a full show. So it was just like, here's a bit of stand-up, here's a video.
What year was that? Can you remember?
Fucking hell.
Was it 2014 or 13 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was 13 or 14. Yeah. 14, I think.
Yeah.
Or
13, I'd say, was it?
Yeah, it might have been 13 because...
Or 14. It might have been 14. I was in the assembly rooms, I think. Or was I in the assembly rooms or in the Gilded Balloon? I can't remember.
You were in the Gilded Balloon.
I was in the Gilded Balloon, okay.
In like a tiny room where like...
Yeah. That's the room I threw the girls out
of. If you were sitting at the side, the chair was touching the wall.
Imagine now throwing 6 Northern Irish girls out of that room.
I know. It was weird, actually. Last gig I went to in there was actually Neil Delamere. And
was he on it? Oh, he was too,
Is it the pool room or the...
The billiard room.
Billiard room, yeah, that's right. And everyone's sweating, like everyone's wearing shorts and everything, and I was fucking sweat. It was like lashing off my legs. And he got to the end of the show and he just turned around and he was like, get us, isn't it? Like this. I'd never met him before.
What?
And he was like, oh, this is before I did the SSE. And he's like, this guy's doing an arena in Belfast. And everybody in the room just turned around.
And looked at you.
And I was just sitting there like... and then people, you know, he would carry on with the show and everyone was still just like, who's this fucking guy? It was very, and then I started sweating even harder. And then after, like, almost like in a movie, two, like, very, you know, attractive porn star looking women were like, what's your name and everything?
Maureen
was pregnant and went to the toilet.
Yeah. And you were like, yeah.
I'm standing there like, this is happening. But 8 years too late.
Exactly. Where were you when I
Where were you when I was doing open
in
spots?
2014 with my 4 10-minute spots.
Yeah. I know, you had a fucking nightmare at Edinburgh, didn't you, with the mumps and all that?
I had the mumps and all that, yeah. That was that first year, yeah.
What sort of fucking...
Who gets the mumps like these days?
Prehistoric fucking...
Because I was misdiagnosed as well. I went to a doctor's over there and they were like, you had the mumps before? And I have a whole bit about this. And I was like, yeah, well, it's not the mumps. And I was like, cool, thanks. Do you know what it is then? She was like, no. And she left me go and I continued to do gigs. And
what does mumps look like?
It's a bit swollen salivary gland on the side of your face, swells out. It's a viral infection, but you get a bit of an old fat. Looks like you're just getting fat on one side of your face.
It's that alpha man.
Yeah, it is a bit like that, yeah. And it can be really severe, but sometimes you get the testicles swell up as well, but that's not... It didn't happen.
In your mouth?
It didn't happen. But I continued to do gigs and like I would shake people's hands afterwards. Hey, thanks for coming. And eventually then someone else said, you have the mumps. And that year, that was 2012, man.
Jesus.
Everyone was at the Olympics, like literally everyone. There was about 12 people in Edinburgh and it was rough. It was rough. But I couldn't wait to get back, to be honest. I love gigging every day and getting a show together.
Yeah, I just... there's something about that month that scares me.
Yeah, I think
like if I had to do fucking Lavery's Comedy Club every day for a month, I would freak out.
Yeah.
I just don't like that repetitive. I also enjoy a gap in between sets. I don't think I could, you know, do a set and go, shit, what does that need? And then sit in a cafe and rewrite it. I couldn't do that. I would need a couple of days to let it settle in and then...
That's interesting. Because I'm trying to work out now how to write the next show without Edinburgh. So I'm maybe going to book a few little shows around Ireland, six or seven little shows in Cork and two or three in Dublin and...
Lavery's.
Yeah, Lavery's, yeah. Just like small little ones where I can just go and see if that works better.
Yeah.
Because also it costs so much money.
The Fringe, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they're...
How are the comedians up there the only people not making money? And it's the only people that it doesn't work without.
Exactly. You could do a fucking fringe.
Yeah.
You know, like
the Fringe. Yeah.
This is like outside of the actual Fringe for actual comedians.
Mm.
It's weird. The little experience. I've been there 1 year actually doing a show. I've been many years just as a guest. But it seems weird that you look around at all the posters and how much coverage people get, and you're like, oh, they've just decided they'd like this person to make it this year. You
but
know?
Also charge that person 12 grand for posters.
Maybe. Like
for being in a 40-seater.
Like the year I was there, Ashley and B was getting pushed.
Oh, she real hard. Massive.
And then she just fucking, you know, to the moon. Like, but it just seemed like that was her. That was like the year where they were like, right,
it's her, yeah.
Let's get
and
her
it'll be a handful of people. But the problem is 100 people put the stakes, push the chips into the middle. 100 people put 12 grand into the middle and go, yeah, I'm in. And then at the end, they're crying.
Yeah.
And they're like...
Because they didn't fucking tick the box.
And the agent is taking, you know, so you owe us €12,000, so we're going to take 50% of every gig you do for the next 2 years. Is that all right? Okay, yeah.
There are some fucking psychopaths in the
massive show
business world.
I used to be up in the loft bar there and just looking around at the people.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I cannot fathom.
Yeah.
This one was swilling wine and she was working with PR or something and she was like, yeah... I was like, how are you making more money than me up here? I'm not making any money.
It's so funny, like, you know, the comedians are like the fucking, the normal guys in the middle of all that, staring at all these freaks going like, what the fuck are we, you know, you have to like kiss these people's assholes
but
just
to
get
the,
in
you take the comedian away and none of it works. You take anyone else away, take that lady with the wine, take the fucking box office away, take the microphone away, take anything away.
Yeah.
And you can still work around it and make it happen.
Yeah, that's one thing I've never really got involved with that much over the years. Like,
which?
Just like getting sucked into that sort of agency kind of...
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
you did. That's great.
Trying
man.
To fucking... I mean, you definitely, to this day, still feel like an outsider all the time. You know, there's no...
I think that's class, though.
Sort of,
do all that on your own, like, and...
But, I've been let into those VIP bars in Edinburgh at the Fringe, and you're kind of standing there like... You know, people still fucking rolling their eyes and turning their head and all, and you're like, yeah, it's just fucking...
A lot of shoulder gazing.
Yeah, he didn't... You know, like 30 sold-out theatre shows, like, at home. But here, over here, people are just like, well...
They're talking to you, but they're looking over your shoulder like, who's
and then
there?
You know, you don't even play a ukulele in your set. You know? That's the thing with the Fringe. So much slips. Like, it's got so many good things.
Yeah.
But there's no real, like, quality check.
There's no call. No, so anyone can do it.
Anyone can book it. So you end up, and people are like really shameless when it comes to flyering and stuff. So they're like, come see the show. And they're fucking doing
five stars.
They're doing backflips and all this bullshit. And the show's shit, but it just happens to be like three theater kids doing a show. So they're very, you know, meanwhile, you're sitting there with like some, you know, absolute fire stand up set being like, do you want to come to my, no, never
mind. Yeah, I couldn't do that. The flyering is so hard, man.
I can't.
Did you flyer?
No, I couldn't even fucking...
Nah, I was like, you know...
Some people are built for it and some people are... I'm also not, like, a friendly-looking guy, you know? If I walk towards you at any pace, people will be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Head down. Go the other way.
But you do see some absolute shit. I remember... you remember Chrissy Bowes from Daly's Comedy Club?
Yes.
Or whatever. He somehow was in charge of this bus at the Three Sisters.
Oh, I remember,
you remember that?
I couldn't even stand. Yeah, we were popping in and doing little spots there and stuff.
I couldn't even stand upright. So you went up the stairs and I had to do the set. Like, hey, guys.
20 past 12 in the day.
Yeah, big wide stance. And it was, I was actually staying really close to that. So if he had a dropout, he just rang me. So I'd be like lying in the fucking...
I was one of those dropout guys as well.
Yeah. But isn't it weird? I got good at the bus set.
Really? You know? You got used to playing the bus.
Yeah, I was like, and I remember actually doing a gig with Paddy McDonald one day, who is rough as, like,
yeah.
And he seen that there was a kid on the bus and he had to like really censor himself, and he came off and he's like, oh, I had a fucking nightmare of a gig there. And then I went straight up and did like a fucking Jimmy Savile joke or something. But obviously the kid and the parents and all laughed because they're like, we're at the fringe.
Yeah, we're bringing the kid.
You're obviously going to see some scandalous shit. But yeah, I ended up like, you know, working out a fucking a bus set over the weeks. Set,
yeah. It's mad how you just adapt to playing a bus, like, isn't it?
My joke was, you know, like I could literally like go like this and the top of the fucking double-decker bus would move.
Yeah. That's still going, that bus, I think. I don't know who's running it now, but that bus is still there.
I don't know if it's easily shifted. You know, no. It's just kind of there.
No, I think he drives around in it. I think that's the guy. Didn't the guy drive around in that or something? He drives from festival to festival.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, you know, you pay big money for that, like, to get a splat.
I wonder, do they still do? What's the late night show where they fucking, you can do, like, a promotion, but you take all your gear off? What's that show called?
Oh, yeah. Spank.
Spank, yeah.
I did it once, yeah.
Like, I wonder, does that still fly after the whole Me Too thing, or is it a bit much to be asking people to
get your kit off,
take their kit off? You should see this now.
It's a bit weird.
It'd be a late night show, starts at 1 a.m. I think.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can, if you're an act at the Fringe and you're at this show, you can promote your show, but you have to do it naked.
Which
sometimes is like great crack, and then other times you're like, why is this guy
really drunk, like,
gross,
naked,
like weird cock, like.
Come see me tomorrow.
Yeah.
11:55 on the bus.
As if anybody's taking that down, you know what I mean? What did he say? Yeah. 12:30 at Three Sisters. And he's sitting there with this wrinkly ball bag.
Two, like, for one Tuesdays. Yeah. We'll go Tuesday.
It's just nothing. You don't want to.
I did that gig. I did that. I did a spot at that gig. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't take my clothes. I didn't have to take my clothes off. I was booked for a normal slot. But the gigs they threw over there are mental. Like, they have set lists and all that. Did you ever do that? Set list, and there's another one like set list where it's like a museum and you have to pretend you're a lecturer and you're like talking.
So set list is when they just like give you random word combinations and you kind of got a riff on it.
Something will pop up and that's your set list. Something will pop up in the projector and they're like, yeah, this is what I was talking about.
How did you get on with that?
At the first one, very good, surprisingly. And I was terrified because I'm fairly scripted enough with my writing. Like, you know, I improv a bit, but improv wouldn't be my favourite part of comedy. But I actually loved the first one and I got such a buzz off it. Then I did it another year later and I died my arse. And then they just started making the slides impossible.
Yeah.
You could do something with that, and then they were just like, ah, come on.
I know. I mean, it's like, it's the sort of thing where, like, I think I would probably be okay at it.
You'd be, yeah.
But
you'd,
I would
be
shitting my pants, you know what I mean? I would just be like, fucking, this is a disaster. Because there's still part of you is like, right, I still want to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, for these people. I think one of the best ones I ever seen was, is it Todd Glass, his name is?
Todd Glass, American guy.
Yeah, he just fucking just freaked out at the scenario. You know, he was just like, this isn't funny. Who fuck pays into this? And he just went off on one about like how stupid this setup was.
I did that for like the third or fourth one. I was just annoyed at the game. I couldn't get anything else.
Yeah.
And then I was like, nah, this is fucking stupid.
Because you can be like, next, and they give you like
a
new combo.
And I was like, watch this now, next, watch the next one. But you think it's going to be this shit. This is just too hard now. And
that's fucking, yeah, you gotta.
What else did I do? Joke Thieves was another one. I enjoyed that.
What's that?
Joke,
like,
Thieves.
Taking someone's stuff?
Yeah, well, everyone gets up, there'd be like 8 acts on. So 4 will go in the first half, 4 will go in the second half. But you'll have to do someone else's material in the second half, and they'll have to do your set in the second half.
Okay.
So it was great crack.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I had to do a Scottish guy, Robert, what's his name? I can't remember, fucking really angry Scottish man. Anyway, I had to do his material in the second half and I just thought it was great crack.
Do they write it out or do you just have to remember?
No, I was just looking at his set and like writing little bits and going, try and do your interpretation of it then, you know?
Fuck.
And that's what Edinburgh is, it's just lost. Everyone seems to need a hook. Come on into my show, it's, you know.
Well, it's always the, like, you know, If you go to the Fringe and do like straight stand up, it's like the worst thing that you could ever do.
Yeah, you can be criticized for it.
People will be like,
it was a bit too funny from start to finish.
Yeah, people will be like, absolutely one of the best club comics I've seen in years.
3 stars.
Yeah, 2 out of 5. It's like,
one reviewer said about me, he takes a bit too long to get to the point, and they released the review in September.
I was at home. I got a Google notification.
I was like, okay, all right, yeah, okay.
That'll do me next year.
Yeah, thanks, lads. Thanks for that.
Oh, I mean, like, you got a question. What sort of people are out there reviewing comedy?
19-year-olds, college kids.
Really?
Yeah, because I've seen them. They come in and they just, it's really, like, I remember one year, I got a reviewer in one year, and they didn't reference this, right? I was doing okay this year, and it was a really quiet day. It was so quiet. It was in the Assembly.
Yeah.
And my theatre would have been like 60 seats straight in front of me, yeah? And I said, for a laugh, we had 12 people in. And I used to stand in the little side bit, which was like fucking 5 metres by 3 metres, yeah? And I said, it'd be fucking hilarious now just to move all the chairs in there and say it sold out. And I did it. And before people came in, I got the guy to help me move all the chairs in there. And I flipped the curtain up over like that and turned the lights around.
Yeah.
And I was like, sorry, lads, we're sold out today. And I put everyone in. And there was a reviewer there. Didn't even reference that. Didn't even like...
Oh, my God.
You know? Well, I stopped going after them, though. I wouldn't be mad. I don't really like reviewers, to be honest.
I don't think I have a quote from anyone that I could use.
No.
In the last, whatever the fuck it is, 12 years or something.
Mm.
I don't think there's one single... you know, sentence, like, oh, very funny. You know, one of those ones?
Yeah.
Someone's got a quote just says, great. John Bishop.
Because you see all loads of comedians have got, you like, you walk around Edinburgh, it's like 5 stars, like, their poster is plastered in it. And you're like, I've done gigs with this person.
Well, that's it.
And like, they are shit.
Yeah. It's sort of, it's pretty black and white comedy, isn't it? It's like,
yeah. There's a noise that happens after you do a joke.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that should do it.
That should do it, really, yeah.
Yeah.
And every now and again, a laugh or a clap.
I mean, you should just write on it. Sometimes it's 5 stars. Sometimes it's not, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's negative stars.
And it's your fault, whoever's in that crowd. Yeah. It's your goddamn fault, you son of a bitch.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
How was your like lockdown sort of period?
My lockdown was interesting because I was living in London.
Where do you live now?
Cork,
Bangkok.
Back in Cork, yeah. Back in Cork, first time in 10 years. But I was moving back anyway.
Just walk into town like that?
Yeah. Pre-pandemic.
It's me, baby.
See, I was moving back. I was like, fuck it, I'm moving back. Because I was doing my first Vicar Street. I was doing a big enough gig in Cork. I had kind of gotten into all the clubs I wanted to get into in the UK. So I was playing them anyway. And I had 2 kids now. So I was like, my mum was flying in to babysit while I was flying to Ireland. And that was awkward.
That's nuts. Like, that's, I know it is. Yeah. Nuts.
It is mental. So I was like, it'd probably be a bit easier.
Probably cheaper than like London babysitter prices.
Probably, yeah. But I was like, it'd be a bit easier if my mother didn't have to go to the airport in order to babysit, you know?
Yeah.
So we wanted to move back to Cork. I said, let's do it. Like 6 years in the UK, contemplating it. And I said, come on, what's the worst that can happen? And then coronavirus happened.
What could go wrong?
And I ended up living in my childhood bedroom with my wife and kids for a couple of months, and that was interesting.
Fucking hell.
Went back to the day job then. Got a...
What was the day job? Because I seen
electrician.
You, electrician, because I seen you put up a post in the fucking high-vis thing, like just going, I would do a gig in anywhere.
That was a poem I did for something. Yeah. It was like a little dreary poem, but saying that I even missed a terrible gig. That was at the height of it, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I went back to the day job and it was actually great. Initially, it was a bit weird. The guy doing the safe pass, I don't know if you don't have a safe pass up here, do you?
What's that for?
It's
like
a safe pass card to get onto a building site. It's a safety course.
Okay,
you have to
okay, okay, okay.
It's 8 hours of the most boring. But when I realised I had to go back to work, I was like, shit, I need to go back to work. I had to scrub the internet of jokes about me being a terrible electrician.
Oh my God.
And send out the CV with a 12 year gap and hope for the best, you know? And go, oh, fuck it. And the nerves, man.
But, you know, it's a weird thing because I'm sure there was plenty of fucking work, was there?
Loads.
Yeah.
Loads.
Because it's crazy at the minute. Like, we've got guys converting, like, the garage, and these guys are coming in at, like, 6:30 at night and working to, like, 10 or 11.
Oh, there's loads of work. Like, I worked, you know, I'm delighted. I'm grateful for it. But, like, there was a period of time, though, where there was no one getting back to me. Like, I was living in my childhood bedroom, my wife and kids going, oh, this is fucked.
Yeah.
None of us had work. None of us had anything.
Yeah.
And I was after paying for like the Safe Pass, which is like, you know, I'm giving comedy up now. I'm doing a Safe Pass again.
Yeah.
And the guy from the Safe Pass recognized me, and I never get recognized. Fuck. The man doing the course recognized me and is asking me for a selfie. And I was like, are you fucking joking me? Like, I've literally buried comedy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just throwing the salt on top of it here.
Fucking
and,
hell.
And he's like, can I get a selfie? You're a comedian.
I gotta say, like, it took me fucking almost a full 2 years to be like, oh, I actually wouldn't mind doing some fucking gigs now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't miss the gigs too much, to be honest.
Yeah.
I missed money, probably.
Yeah, that's
and having a house.
Yeah.
And a kettle and stuff like that. Things like that I missed. But the actual gigs, I enjoyed not having my phone and all that. My phone didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I was like, your screen time is down 20, 40, 50% as I was leaving my phone at home, like, you know?
Yeah, fucking right. You know, it's weird. Like, I remember the first bit of the lockdown, because we live in basically, we bought a house that's in a bit of a triangle with the in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
So we live within, like, hundreds of meters apart.
Nice.
So whenever it was like proper lockdown, it was actually good weather and we were all just having fucking barbecues and
that
beers.
That was the thing about that first lockdown, man. Weather was insane.
Yeah, it was
and
banging.
It was beautiful.
So like, you know, you're outside fucking... I put up a video of me with like one of these sanitizer wipes just cleaning a cucumber. You know, just I just remember doing washing all your fucking tins
washing
and everything.
Washing the fucking shopping.
Yeah, that's nuts. Like,
that was mad that we were washing the shopping, isn't it?
There's so many things they're going to look back on and be like, how stupid was that?
Yeah, my hands were bleeding. I was washing them so much.
Yeah.
They're just dried out. I was washing them every 5 minutes.
And then I hear someone on like some podcast recently and he goes, yeah, it's not a fucking hand disease.
Yeah.
You know, it's an airborne like flu thing.
Yeah.
Just don't be near people if you don't want to get it. I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Wash into shopping.
And every time you fucking sanitize your hands, you're like, waiting for it to fucking die off because it's like stinging the shit out of your hands.
I don't give a shit anymore. Have you had it like?
Yeah.
Have you? I haven't had it. No. What?
We did a gig in, so we did the SSE gigs at Christmas and at that time people were like, Omicron is everywhere and... It was very touch and go, even with the gig. I was like, are they going to let this slide and whatever? And then sure enough, January was like a bit of a lockdown type scenario again. But I did one more gig in Armagh City Hotel and it was like 650 people.
Fuck.
Huge. And it even freaked me out. I walked into the room and I was like, holy fuck. Because 650 like tiered seats is still quite a lot, but it's kind of in a block.
It looks
650
different.
Cabaret seats
in a hotel
room was like fucking enormous. Yeah. And sure enough, like I was tested positive like the day after. Connor Keyes was on, he was positive, the sound guy positive, everybody that went to the gig was like
super spreader,
everybody was like well, they weren't checking anything, you know what I mean, they were just letting people come in. And after, everyone was like, oh, great gig, lad, and all, but, you know, we've all got COVID. And I was like, yeah, fucking.
You just talked to her messing.
Yeah. Like me too.
It's like me with the mumps, boy.
Yeah.
Spreading it around.
Yeah, just fucking high-fiving people. Calling girls from Belfast cunts in their face.
Thanks for coming, lad. Yeah.
No, I got it, but I mean, thankfully it was, you know, the Omicron one, which was kind of just like.
The mild one.
I've been gigging like a maniac, so whenever I got it, I just thought I was exhausted.
Yeah, I was just like,
I've been up too long and driving fucking hours on end and everything. I'm just absolutely shattered.
Oh, I didn't miss that, man. The fucking driving.
Yeah.
They're driving. I was opening for Delamere. I was telling you this earlier before Chris Omicron time and Mayo. I was gigging in Mayo with him, like. And I drove the day before. I had been in my mother had her 60th, and it was literally because of the Omicron. It was literally me, my wife, my mother, my brother, his partner, and the kids. That was it. Like, we just had a meal together, like, you know. Then the gigs were shifted. This was between Christmas and New Year's to 6 o'clock and half capacity. And I was like, yeah, I'll still do it. I'll still do the gig. Left my house at 12 o'clock, drove to Mayo, got to Mayo, and my wife rang and goes, your mom has tested positive. And I was like, are you fucking joking me? I can't go in there and give this to Delamere and get him off dancing with the stars. You know,
sue you to death.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, exactly. I'll ruin your career here now in 2 seconds, or save it, whatever way you want to look at it, for not doing Dancing with the Stars. But like, I just couldn't go in. I rang Neil, and he was obviously sound about it. He was like, "Geez, I don't know." You know, technically, it was just a close contact, but I didn't want to go in.
Yeah.
In case I did have it, because I was with my mother the day before, even though we were on a different table in the restaurant. But it was just like, getting back into the car after a 3.5 hour drive and not doing a kick and then just driving back.
Ireland is not well sort of linked up with roads.
It isn't, no.
Like Galway the other day had a, you know, you go to Dublin and across.
Yeah.
You don't go like across country.
No, you don't go that way.
I also had to go to Mayo recently.
Mayo's a trek, man.
I was going to Ballina and I went like down through like Fermanagh and like I took a piss at home.
Yeah.
And there was nowhere to stop for a coffee or a piss till I got to like Ballina.
Nah, you wouldn't want to be running out of fuel or anything.
Nah, you'd be fucked. Like,
I don't know if you've ever gotten a train anywhere in Ireland, but I've passed places I was going to and away to them. I'm like, how did that happen? Swear to God, how did that happen? I passed the place, I'm like, I'm going there.
Yeah.
I'll be here in 2 hours. I passed the place. And I went down and came back and I'm like, well, we're here.
I know, it's so fucking...
Yeah, who's after designing that?
I know, there's people like... how many trains is there left now, Niall, up north?
Oh, fuck.
The one banger train, that's it.
Is it bad up here as well?
I think trains are terrible. Like, even our closest town is Dungannon. And it has a big rail line going through it, but there's no train.
Yeah.
Not for years. So
I think there was loads of rails around Ireland and they were all just dug up and put away.
Yeah.
I think we had a much more sophisticated rail system like years ago, you know?
I know, you would take it nowadays, but yeah, that cross-country drive is just like...
Oh, man.
It's such a part of comedy too.
It's such a part of comedy. It rained the whole way home as well from Mayo, you know? And whatever happened, I went out to the car the next day. And when I say my boot was full of water, I mean my boot of my car was
like a paddling pool.
Exhibit found out I was mad into swimming pools back in the day. And
pimp,
he went,
pimp my Mazda.
We put a swimming pool. Like my tools were covered, like the whole thing. And I was like, what's after happening here? And my whole, where you put the wheel, was just, you couldn't see it, nothing. Everything was floating around in my boot. And I was like...
Did it come up through the bottom or did it rain in through the top?
I was trying to investigate for the day. So I took everything out, took the tire out of the car, took everything else out, took all my tools out. And luckily they were up the top. And I was like, me and my wife with two trick-or-treat buckets that the kids had emptying my boot. And I mean, it took us about half an hour to get all the water out of the boot.
You just fucking drilled a hole through the bottom.
That's what someone else said to me. But we got the water out. I think I was investigating the whole time. I dried the car. I stuck a dehumidifier into it and everything, plugged it in and kept going out to the car after it rained, trying to figure out where the water was coming in. There was a little crack in the light. Basically, one of the rubbers had lifted up. The rubber seal around the boot had just lifted up completely, like, you know, and... It filled my fucking car with water.
That's a fucking disaster. Like,
I tell you though, you're not, you know, you get a lot more room in there. When you take the tire out, you have an awful lot of room in that boot, actually. If you're willing to risk a journey and you want an extra bit of space, I'm tempted to leave the wheel out, you know?
Oh yeah, just tied to the roof like you're on safari.
But it is though, it is part of it. Like I remember driving again with Neil, I was doing work, I'm working now, and this week I was working mental hours, 13-hour shifts, so I was just half asleep the whole time, you know? Yeah. So I'm leaving work one day, 13-hour shift, I crashed into this other car, just half asleep, fender bender, you know?
Yeah.
But still had to go through the insurance and all that, and my insurance broke the light in my car. I had to get up the next day, go to the fucking scrapyard, get a light, put it into my car, then go to work, covered in oil, and then I had to drive to Dundalk for a gig after work because I had to fix my light. Drove to Dundalk, you know, fucking shit, like, what's going on here?
I think it's the only bad sort of thing about doing comedy is, well, you know, it's like you don't know who you're doing the comedy in front of, you know, that's a factor.
Yeah.
And then also, like, you're the entertainment, so it's like, I don't particularly feel like the entertainment right now because I'm fucking exhausted.
You know? I was exhausted, but it was kind of funny because the insurance company, everyone was saying to me, you're not going to go through your insurance, are you? And I'm like, well, I am. The insurance that I pay him for 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, don't bother those people
about
fixing this woman's car. You pay thousands of pounds. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go through my insurance, you lunatic. So I then drove to Dundalk straight after work. And on the way there, the insurance company rang me. And, you know, they just put everything. They were like, it's cool, don't worry, it happens all the time. So I felt way better. Did the gig, and the gig was brilliant crack. And that made a big difference. And I was talking about what happened at the gig. Got up the next day and had some breakfast in Dundalk. And I was really chilled out then. I was sitting at a table in a restaurant. And this guy next to me had like a novelty cup. It was in the, it was like a picture of a fox on it. And it was like, for fuck's sake. And I was laughing at that cup.
Right.
I was laughing really hard at that cup. You know, I was like, maybe it was just the whole stress of the thing.
You just completely lost your mind.
I was like, oh yeah, life is okay. And I supported Neil Delamere that night up the north. And driving home, I hit a fucking fox.
Fox.
Properly creamed a fox. Never hit a fox in my life.
Creamed.
And I was like, whoa, that's what the cup was about. The cup wasn't trying to tell me not to take things seriously. Yeah, it was
for
like,
fuck's sake indeed.
Watch out.
Just absolutely smeared the fox up the road. That happened to me coming out of Dublin one night, just like coming through that fucking tunnel. And there was no one there, and I put the foot down. And I was like, and just like, you know, you glance away for a second, look back, and there's just a fox in the middle of the road eating something other, some other dead thing.
Yeah.
And it was just sitting there like, and then it looked up, and I was just like, oh, fuck.
Did you hit it?
No. But I did hit a freshly dead one.
Did you?
Me and Mickey Bartlett in the car and just fucking minced that as well.
Oh, I cracked this fella. I couldn't even get my foot. You're not meant to break anyway, apparently. You're not meant to break because
that's what they're
just
saying.
Meant to go straight through them.
Foxes, children, old ladies, just fucking.
But I didn't even get my foot to the brake. He just came right out from that part of the road.
Yeah.
And I didn't get my foot to the brake and I just heard the big smack.
They'll fuck your car up, like, depending on, you know, what size it is.
Cracked the bumper in the middle of my car. I was already broken from hitting the woman the day before, but luckily I just fixed the light and not the bumper, because that's the fox broke the bumper again.
Did you spill any water out of the paddling pool?
Yeah, I still had the, I need a new car, I think. That's
that's the fucking, the gods sending you a message. How long have we chatted for there now?
40 minutes.
40 men's, bro. We have some questions here, actually, if we want to, if you want to jump to the questions. There's not many of them because I've only put the thing up recently. What's the most disgusting, you see, they're a mixed bag, these questions. What's the most disgusting thing you've witnessed in the men's toilets? I've seen a guy go straight from the urinal to the hand dryer.
Oh, that happens all the time.
To dry his piss hands. I mean, even, fair play to him for putting up, you know, the sort of pantomime of the illusion of hygiene.
Yeah, well, I'm back working on building sites now, man, so it's just like...
disastrous.
Toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they literally closed the toilets on one of the sites I was at because someone shit on the floor.
I always see things like that, and I'm like, I have been shitting professionally now for 35 years.
How
did it get on the floor?
How did it get on the floor? I think it's either intentional. It has to be intentional.
Like, you'd have to be shitting on the way in and trip and fall, and it'd fall out of your ass.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
One time ever, I was very close to... I think I did material about this, but I had for some reason, I was very hungover, I had my wife's onesie on, and it got stuck. The zip up here got stuck, and I very, very needed to go to the toilet very quickly. Like, it really gave me a panic attack. I was in my apartment in Dublin, and I was like, oh, I have to go. And I went to get the zipper and the thing, and it was stuck in here, like, properly.
Oh, no.
Properly, like, and I was like, panicking, and I ended up breaking her onesie because I had to pull it apart like that. I had to just break the zip like some kind of fucking terrible Superman in the toilet.
Pooperman,
yeah. And I pulled it, and that thing went flying, and I pulled it down. And I swear to God, man, there was stuff leaving my body before my arse hit the seat. Like, honest to God, that's just, it was gone, but it all. It's still, even under those circumstances, which are rare, I would say, everything was in the bowl.
Yeah, even in a fucking...
even there, in that panic,
even in
I got everything into the bowl. How do you... And also, like, where do people sit? Sometimes it's at the back. Do they, like, sit right back? How is it all back here? Do you know what I mean? Like, how the fuck?
Yeah, or you've got shit coming over the front of the toilet, and you're like, were you going, like... You know, switch stance, like you were leaning on the cistern like this.
Side saddle.
Yeah.
And a toilet.
People fucking, it's insane. Some of the shit you see, like, it's always like bus stations or train stations or something, but like, I remember being in Glasgow and I lived in Glasgow at the time, got the train back from Edinburgh, jumped off, busting for a piss, ran into the toilets, and just went to open this cubicle. And I mean, it looked like someone shat diarrhea into a fucking like plastic pint glass and then got like a fucking 3-wood and just went whoosh and like blasted it up. It was like fucking like a grenade went off, like like completely sprayed up the wall. I was like, what happened here?
How do you leave that though behind you?
I don't know whether...
It's not your first time doing that kind of thing if you just walk out.
I like to imagine that was completely natural and someone didn't throw it. They just pulled their pants down and fucking shot right up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Very impressive, you know, but...
Those people must smell of shit, though.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. You know, crazy homeless person, I would, if I had to guess. What about that fucking, what do you call that family we always would like to watch with all the inbred folks?
The Whittakers.
The Whittakers.
I've seen a bit of that,
yeah. But the guy's just like, and he turns around, he's just fully shot his jeans, and you're like, well, that's just normal around there. It has to be uncomfortable.
It has to be, it is. I've done it, I pissed my phone to death.
That stingy piss.
Yeah, I was like, this is the shame of it.
It's hard to do, you know, sober as an adult.
Oh, sober I wouldn't, yeah.
You know, there is a mental block to like soiling yourself with your pants on. Because we, you know, remember that day we went up and did the outdoor adventures in the sea?
Oh,
and I said to the guy, I was like, where's the toilets around here? And he goes, you're wearing it. And I was like, all right. It's hard.
Is that what he said? You're wearing it.
Yeah, and we rented these fucking wetsuits too. So he's just like, man, just blast the piss into it. You're in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't. I held the piss for about 3 hours because I was like, there is a mental block to like, you know, you've got your fucking underwear.
Consciously.
And you got this thing on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all mashed in and you're like, I can't piss.
Yeah.
I can't piss. You know, it's not, I'm not relaxed enough or the muscles don't know what to do.
I could, yeah. If it wasn't for a wetsuit, I would in the sea. No problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I should have just took the whole wetsuit off and just fucking stood at the side of a rock. But apparently that's a legit technique. You know, keep yourself warm.
Yeah, but all sorts of people do it. Like runners, ultramarathoners do it.
Yeah.
They shit and piss themselves the whole time.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to shave 10 seconds off their time. They don't want to stop.
10 seconds, like, even like, that would be impressive.
They're like,
I remember that famous video of...
they get lighter as well, I suppose.
Was it? Yeah, true. Like Paula Radcliffe or whatever, she had to stop for a bit of a shit.
Yeah. Sonia Sullivan had to do the same, I think. Yeah, she had to get off the track.
But I mean, you know, fucking 5K into that, I'd need to shit.
Yeah.
You know.
I used to do a lot of running and going out needing the shit, like, it's torture.
Do you still? I remember you used to do bits about doing marathons and shit.
Yeah, I was doing loads during the lockdowns and started just trying to get back into it now. I do too much. I don't do any of the strength or conditioning or stretching or drinking water.
Yeah.
But I will run for fucking days. Like my wife will be like, you're insane. She'll be like, dropping me off in Ballincollig Park in Cork. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll just run home. You drive.
How far is that?
About 20K or something.
Yeah.
And I'll just go, yeah, no problem. But then I don't do any of the stretches or anything like that. And it's only now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to get injured because of it.
Just in a pair of jeans and a fucking boots.
Exactly, yeah.
See you at home. That's when you know you're a professional runner. You just, you know, I would be buying all the fucking trainers and shit and not running anywhere.
Mm.
You just take off. A lot of
people do that. All the gear, little jackets, little scarves.
Yeah.
It's expensive stuff.
There's a lot of people wearing these fucking, like, it's like a bra with pockets in it.
And they put their phone in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking weird. Weird shit. Let me see. How many more questions have we got? Going to the Comedy Cellar in New York this week. Any tips? Just sit at the front and get blocked and shout yo every 5 minutes.
That's the people we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, people think that's a legit part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some good heckles. Someone said that to me before Lavery's. I've got good heckles for tonight. And I was like, what?
Mm.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Loads of people say that to me in work now. I'll come and see you and I'll heckle. And I'm like, please do.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with people. I don't know. You know, you keep watching these comedy documentaries and people go like, heckling is just part of comedy. And you're like, no, it's not.
I can count the amount of times I've been nearly heckled, probably. It really doesn't happen that often at all.
I had one good heckle and it was just well timed and it was funny where I was introducing like Mickey.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, he's one of the best comedians in Northern Ireland. You're going to love him. And someone went, Patrick Kilty. And I just, like, that's good.
You just give it up to that, don't you?
Yeah, that's
and you
fun.
Go, and they clap for that person.
That's fun. But yeah, that's the smartest thing I've ever heard as a heckle.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
Everything else is just too much noise over and over again. Can you remember any good heckles?
Good heckles that I got. I got a horrendous, not a good heckle, a horrendous heckle.
Hurt your feelings?
Oh, for days. I was in the worst gig of my life and I have material about this and it was in that little poem and it's a true story because basically I was going into a comedy club in Dublin trying new material. I was like, I'm sticking to this new material tonight. I turned up at the club and the crowd just couldn't, like, they were literally silent for the MC and everything. They weren't given anything. Transpired, a lot of them didn't have English, and I was like, okay, fair enough, but I'll drive on anyway with the new stuff. And when I say I was dying, I mean I was properly...
Just nothing going on.
I could hear myself sweating. I know that sounds like I could hear sweat going on my back. And then I went into some old material at the end because I was just like, I need something before I leave. Nothing. And a woman stood up and she said, could somebody please help him about me? That was the heckle I got. Haunted me.
Can someone please help him?
Felt it in my balls. Can someone please help him? And then I finished the gig. I went home. I couldn't sleep. I watched a movie. I watched Hunger, I think it was. Michael Fassbender.
Nice cheery one.
I had it on DVD.
Just to raise my spirits again.
I had it on DVD at the time, and it wasn't open. I said, I'm not going to bed with these thoughts. So I put that on, watched that, and had a bag of popcorn. And that was just a proper, like, that was my, I'm not sure if it's a heckle, if there's concern involved.
I mean, I think the dumb thing is you just almost acknowledge how dead the gig is.
Yeah.
And just kind of just sit in the pocket and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I should have done that. I've learned that was early on in my career.
I have a real tendency to, like, if no one's laughing, almost like ramp it up on the filth, you know, just be like, you're not going to like this.
Yeah.
At all. This one's for me.
That's the way to do it, 100%. Yeah. But I don't know about funny heckles. None of them are springing to the top of my mind now.
The one that hurt my feelings was there was a guy came to the door of Laverick's. Well, I was just standing at the door talking to whoever was doing the door. And someone was just going to another part of the bar. And they were like, where's Colin? Colin Geddes. And I went, all right, what's happening? He goes, he went to my primary school, like,
okay,
pulling that out of his ass. And wow. I was like, did we? Can't even fucking remember.
I can't remember even secondary school.
Nah, and the guy, he was with his girlfriend, he was already fucking slapping about the place. And he goes, well, come in, how much is it? And at the time, it was like a fiver in the Laveries or something. He's like, all right. And he sat down, just didn't know what was happening, didn't know it was comedy, didn't know how to watch comedy. He was just sitting there fucking, the girl was on the phone, just fucking all over the place like this. And just out of nowhere, mid-set, she just went like this. Does anybody have a number for a taxi? Like that. And the worst thing was, people were like, yeah, you know, like showing her phones and all, like trying to type it in and all.
Someone else, I was just about to call one actually. Do you want me to get you one as well?
I know we just had to kind of start, you know, I just had the microphone in my hand, like, all right, let's get her sorted out there. Yep. She's literally phoning it and on the seat. And I was like, okay, enjoy your night.
Yeah.
And this guy's just like, all right, Colin, see you later and all. Good to see you. Remember them old days in the fucking
primary school?
Playing five a side, mate, and all. Good. I'll be honest, I was like, I thought you'd be, you know, dead or in jail by now, but fair play to you.
They're never good. Heckles are never good, really.
They're never good. Right, we'll wrap this up very shortly. I'm trying to think when this is going to go out. Tuesday, so our big weekend will have already happened. Big guests in the limelight. Our boy Kevin Hart.
What?
definitely me and Shane are supporting him at the limelight.
It's amazing that you're not joking about that. That is crazy.
But isn't it like, it is the
It's class though, isn't it?
It's amazing. I mean, it's the coolest thing that'll ever happen, but it is the most, it's so, such a stretch that nobody believes that it's real.
I didn't believe it earlier.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I was with John Mayer and he was like, he was like, Kevin Hart's playing.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the comedian, by the way, he wasn't like sitting banging out a few licks.
I was like, no, he isn't. And I didn't even believe it. The comedian, like, you know, that's great.
Because whenever I first heard that, I was on the way to a gig. And you know Connor Keyes?
Yeah.
He was the first guy I seen. I was like, don't tell anybody this, but I have to tell you or I'm going to fucking drop dead.
Explode.
And I was like, yeah, apparently Kevin Hart is coming to town. He's like, fuck off. And I have a brilliant, we'll probably put together like a wee video after the whole event.
Yeah.
Where I got Aaron
McCann. I can't wait to see that.
I got Aaron McCann. I picked him up off the plane and I recorded him, you know. And I was
his reaction.
Yeah. And I was telling him and he's just sitting there and I was like, blah, blah, blah. And I got a phone call saying it was going to be a big act and could I give him like some time at the club and blah, blah, blah. And I just went, guess who it is? And he goes, I don't know. And he was like hitting, you know, like you would go like, right, who's a, you know, who would be a big name?
Yeah. To drop? Probably go Irish first.
Well, that's what he asked. He's like, Irish? And I was like, no. And he goes like, English? And then he started firing off a few English comedians. And I just went like, Kevin Hart. And he goes, sir, what'd he say? You're pulling my fucking wire. Just
imagine you said no.
Yeah.
Sorry, can we get Kevin Hart a few minutes? We're actually fully booked.
Yeah.
Maybe give me a bit of notice the next time, all right?
I know, exactly. But then I said to Mark McCartney, like Kevin Hart, and straight away he's like, hey, Kevin Hart sells the fucking tires in Auchnacloy or something. Like he hit me with some real fucking weird local reference, but anyway. But it'll be some crack, but fuck yeah. Cheers for joining me, man.
Thanks, man.
It's good to get a bit of a catch up. Come back and do Lavery's.
I want to
on your
that.
Little tour.
Yeah, I can't wait to, to come back.
We've gone twice a week now, so you can come up, get a room.
What nights is that now?
Wednesday, Thursday.
Brilliant.
So we'll put you up and you can stay for two nights and, you know, stretch your legs a bit up there. But that's it. Cheers for coming
love
on.
Love coming to Belfast. Thank you very much for having me, boy.
Yep. Take her easy.